accept that fact. I accept the fact that change is not easy. I accept the fact that it challenges us to have to maybe rethink some things that we have thought of for so long. But can I simply ask you tonight to consider that your soul's worth the thought? That your soul and your relationship with God is worth the time and energy that you would put forth to determine whether there's truth and validity to these things. A desire, in fact, to change leads me to baptism. Faith and belief leads me to baptism. Mark 16:16. Repentance and change leads me to baptism. Not in the opposite direction of, not to the ignoring of. But notice what else the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. If Philip says, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. The eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can I say to you tonight, friend, that I wholeheartedly believe in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. I believe the importance and vitality of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the importance of confession with the mouth, the Lord Jesus, as just as vital as any other aspect of the plan of God. And you say, well, why then, preacher, do you always seem to come back to the emphasis of baptism? And the reason, friends, is simply this. Very few argue about the idea of the need for confession. And once you have already found common ground on the subject of confession, there is not the same need to continually re-bring it up, because I have met no one, to my knowledge, in spiritual walk that denies the idea. In fact, I've met a lot of folks who have said this is the only command that's necessary. That if I will but acknowledge Jesus as my Savior. Friends, I don't deny the benefit and the importance and the absolute necessity of confession. But may I suggest to you tonight, friends, the word confession comes, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I believe I can read in a dictionary, that it comes from a Greek word that simply means a vow or a promise. When you and I confess the Lord Jesus, we are making a vow to Him to serve Him as Lord. And if I make that confession, can I simply ask you tonight that if I am vowing my life to Jesus, if He tells me to cleanse my sins through baptism, would I not do that as His disciple? Would I not do that as a follower of Jesus? A promise to serve Him as Lord leads me to fulfill all His instructions. So you say, well, preacher, yes, I've studied the Bible. I've been taught. I'm a believer. I believe in the testimony of Scripture, and I believe the need for repentance and change. I believe that there's a necessity of that. I believe that confession is vital and important and necessary in relationship that I might find salvation. And if you're a believer in all those things, friends, then I just simply ask, then why not be baptized into Christ? If you and I are in perfect harmony up to that point, then what is hindering us from being in perfect harmony on this last thought? If all the others are perfectly well, if we are in perfect harmony, then why not this one? Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and let's look at it. The question came, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? The answer, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The answer to that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. May I ask you tonight, may I ask you just kindly tonight to consider with me, do you see water in the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you see not just water, but do you see an immersion? The word baptized, by the way, comes from a transliterated form in translation talk. They basically took baptismo from the Greek and said, they had a word by definition, but they didn't want to use the word that it meant, immersion, to submerge, to plunge, to dip. And so rather than use that, they created a whole new English word, baptize. But the word means to immerse, to submerge, to plunge. But I don't even necessarily need a dictionary to understand that, because I get it from the fact that two grown men had to go down into the water in order for the eunuch to be baptized. Now again, friends, I am not trying to be insulting or belligerent or anything of the sort. But dear ones, if it required solely a sprinkling or a pouring, then you have two grown men that are not very smart. To have both gone clear down into the water to get enough water to sprinkle or pour upon the eunuch. Right? The very physical nature of what happens here in Acts chapter 8 teaches us that what happens with the eunuch is an immersion in water. And may I also suggest to you to consider that at what point was it that the eunuch found joy and peace and contentment? The text says that he came up out of the water. Philip was caught away by the Spirit, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The joy and peace and contentment came after the eunuch had acquitted himself of everything God had asked of him. There is a sense of relief and joy that can only come when I have done all that the Lord has asked of me. And the eunuch wasn't the only one, was he? We read it in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We see it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We see it again in Acts